This is an OSV Podcast Network production. To learn more, visit osvpodcasts.com.
This is Like a Mother with Katie McGrady, the podcast that brings you honest conversations about motherhood, the ins, the outs, the ups, the downs, the realities, the joys, the struggles, the pains, the moments where we think, I can't do this, and the moments where we rejoice that we are doing it, and everything in between. I'm your host, Katie McGrady. We are so happy you're here. Have you wanted to experience the transformative power of sacred scripture? Well, then join Dr. Mary Healy, a world-renowned biblical scholar, in a college-level online course, Introduction to Sacred Scripture. In the course, which is entirely online, offered through Sacred Heart Major Seminary, Dr. Healy is going to guide you to uncover the interconnectedness of biblical texts from Genesis to Revelation. You'll discover how God speaks to you personally, how this can reveal profound truths for your own life and unexpected messages. Enroll today. Visit shms.edu/online. We're grateful for their sponsorship today on this Introduction to Sacred Scripture course. I think one of the hardest parts of motherhood, and I realize that I'm starting from a place of negativity, I promise we're going to get positive, but I think one of the hardest parts of motherhood is finding time to actually take care of your own spiritual life. Because it's very easy for us to say, well, I prayed with my kids, or, you know, we had to discern this thing for our children, or, well, we went to Mass as a family. And all of those things obviously involved talking to God, involved some sort of prayer, but was any of it for you? And that's not to say that there's a disconnect, right? If I'm praying for my children, I'm still praying. It's still going to benefit me, although we don't pray just for our own benefit, but rather that sometimes we consume ourselves so much with the tasks and the responsibilities and the necessary work of motherhood that sometimes our spiritual health, our relationship with God, our prayer becomes another thing on the to-do list. And so as we are child rearing, as we're raising kids and making big decisions with and for them and navigating all those ins and outs and ups and downs, our prayer life, our relationship with God, our own connection to the Father can kind of drift to the side. And it drifts to the side nobly. I'm not going to sit here and fuss at anybody for that. But rather, it's a challenge, right? What do I need to be doing in my own spiritual life, whether it's a holy half hour or daily Mass once a week or some sort of reflection book that I take time to read every day that grounds me in my own understanding of the faith and my own relationship with God before I can pour into my own children? I think every mother, every person, every human being has experienced a little bit of that disconnect or has experienced that challenge. And I'm not going to say that, and today on this podcast, we are solving that problem and giving you 10 tips on how to make time for prayer. That's not what this show is about. Rather, I wanted to sit down and talk to somebody who I know has faced that challenge, has experienced that disconnect, and has figured out a way to actually engage in the spiritual life, to make that connection to the Lord so that then we can connect to our children, that there can be this response approach to the way we rear our children rather than a reaction. I had this conversation with my husband not long ago. I said, you know, I feel like I fly off the handle at our kids for the silliest things. And he looked at me and he affirmed me and he said, well, it's not the silliest thing. It's just kind of that thing was the trigger. It's all these other things that kind of led up to it. And it happened just the other day. Rose had her first performance for Christian Youth Theater here in town. She was Gloria the Hippo in a kid's version of Madagascar. She had three lines and a song and a dance. And she's been practicing for months and going to the theater classes and she loved it. And so on the day of the showcase, I had to pick her up at school at 3 o'clock. So I get off the air at 3. I pulled into the driveway at school at 3:10, the fastest I've ever made it. rushed home. We were through the door by 3:25, got her undressed from school, into her costume, makeup on her face, and were ready at the door for Tommy to drive up at 3:50 to get her to the call time at 4:00. And as Tommy is pulling into the driveway, Rose looks at me, and she is in her hippo costume with her face paint on. She's got a pillow tied to her stomach, so she looks puffy like a hippo. And she looks at me and she says, "Oh gosh, Mom, I have to go to the bathroom." And I looked at her and I said, "Did you not go to the bathroom before we put the costume on? Because in my head, you're 6 years old. I told you to go change. You should have known to go to the bathroom. And now here you are in your whole costume, and I'm going to have to take the whole thing off and untie the pillow so you can go to the potty. And you need to do it here because you can't do it at the theater because they've got a gazillion and one kids to keep track of." And I yelled. And she looked at me with this look of hurt on her face. And I realized, oh my gosh, I just yelled at my child before she was going to this first performance. And I felt so terrible and immediately apologized. And she said, "It's okay, Mom. I forgive you." But I could tell that she was just saying it because that's what we've taught our children to say to each other and to us and what we say to them. And I said, "No, Rose, I'm really, really sorry. I shouldn't have done that." Tommy walks in. He sees the dejected look on her face. He finds Claire in a pile of Whopper candies in the kitchen because she was in her own little world at that moment. And I went back to this conversation with Michelle in my head of how so often I react to things rather than respond. How I correct a moment before I'm able to connect. And how the challenge so often is making sure that I'm taking time to connect with the Lord, making sure that I'm taking time to center myself so that then I can be less reactive and more connective with my children. That's what this conversation is about today. I'm not going to sit here and say it provides all the answers, but it is a beautiful snapshot of one woman's experience with this, and does give some advice on how we can foster this sense of, I need to be connected to God. I need to be a woman of prayer so that I can be the best mother God has called me to be. It's a great conversation with Michelle Benzinger. Michelle is one of the co-hosts of the Abiding Together podcast. She's a dear friend of mine. This is now the second Abiding Together co-host that we've had on the show. We're working on Sister Miriam. She's a good friend of mine. We're going to try to get her on at some point too. You should definitely go back and listen to our episode with Heather Kim from a few weeks ago. That's also an excellent, excellent episode. But for right now, I want you to sit back and enjoy this conversation about how to connect with God and with our kids with Michelle Benzinger. So your husband travels a lot. That's a switch. You used to travel.
Yeah.
A lot.
Yeah.
And now he travels a lot.
It's been a big change after, I think like 2 years ago, the Lord really called me to like what I call like a fallow season, where I just had to stop what I was doing, and not only stop what I was doing, but doing it at the pace that I was doing it at. And like if there's a tall tale sign when I decided to step back, and a lot of it was because of health reasons. I was like on borderline autoimmune. Like my doctor's like, "Girl, you're about to jump off a cliff and there's no reversing it if you don't change this around." But like a tall tail sign was, Katie, I had to hire like three people to do what I was doing, you know, besides raising my kids. I was like, okay, this is, you know, because I was running design stuff. I was running stuff for the podcast. I was running all these different things. Plus I was traveling and I was like, oh, wow. I have to hire a lot of people to do what I like. And you're just like, that's interesting.
Yeah.
So now, yes, my husband is traveling and it is good. I've become an official homebody, which I love. I never thought that would be my personality, which I love. Like when I say yes to speaking engagements, it is very few and far between because I just want to be home with my kids. And I think there's something that happens when you realize like we have six children and three are out of the house. One is like working already in Atlanta and two are in college. And then I have the bottom three, what I like to call it. And I thought, oh, we're halfway, you know, like, yeah, like I'm thinking halfway to myself, done. But people would tell me, because they're all so stair-stepped. People would tell me, you know, the days are long, but the years are short. And I'd be like, shush. I mean, nobody can get in a car seat by themselves. No one can put their shoes on by themselves. I'm like, the days are whatever. Yes. But it's so true. And so I really realized, okay, this is going short. Like I only have five more years and I don't want to miss anything. Like, I don't want to miss, you know, and sometimes I do because the Lord calls me to do something, but if I can. So it's just been awesome. But when my husband works at home and I'm at home all day long, I'm like, oh, I love you. Do you think it's time to travel? It like keeps the marriage like happy, you know, because yes, because fresh. Like I'll be working on something. And then when he's done with his calls or whatever he has to do, what you doing? How are you? What's going on? I'm like, dude, I'm doing stuff also. Yeah.
Yeah. There's a week at the beginning of October where I go to Chicago for 2 days and then I come home and then Tommy has off for like fall break, but the kids have school. And he was like, oh, I'm so excited to get to spend the day with you. And I'm like, I still have to work, babe. Like I still have the show and the house doesn't clean itself and like all this stuff. And it's kind of that like tension of you're my favorite person on planet Earth. And also it's good that you leave for 8 hours a day, or I leave for a couple nights every now and then, you know? You said something that I really want to dig into, Michelle. First, sure. I want you to introduce yourself, but then I'm going to ask you this question about how the Lord called you, like how you heard that. So tell us who you are, and then we'll get into that incredible phrase.
Yeah, I am Michelle Benzinger. Isn't how funny women describe themselves. I'm a wife and a mom. We describe my identity that way. But my husband, I've been married for 22 years, I think. Yeah, 22 years. And we have 6 children, ages 24 to 14. But you're like, oh, but they've only married 22 years. We adopted 2 children from Haiti. Our oldest daughter is, we actually adopted out of birth order, is adopted from Haiti. And our 5th child, my son, is adopted from Haiti too, and they are siblings. So, before we adopted them. So yeah. And they're all stair stepped in there. So I got a bunch of kids, and then I do the Biting Together podcast with Sister Miriam James and Heather Kim. I know Heather has been on this podcast before, and I, create, speak, and actually I'm back in school right now also. And so,
Oh, and that's what I want to talk to you about. You are one of the few people that I've watched from afar, and then we've become friends. I think you might be one of the only people in ministry world that knew my sister before we knew each other. And Laura like loves to claim that. Like Michelle was my friend.
I adore like, your sister.
You can claim her. I can claim Sister Miriam and Heather, but you get to claim Michelle. And I've always long admired, from listening to the podcast and from watching you from afar and knowing a little bit of y'all's story, but then of course now getting to know you, that you seem to know the voice of Jesus really well. And on this show, we've talked to a lot of people about like the logistics of parenting or the particular struggle or like a story of fostering. I think we need to do an episode, and the only person I wanted to do it with was you, of how moms can actually listen to Jesus. Because I think we get a lot of information about do this or do that, or when it comes to the particulars of managing our homes or just, you know, running life. But then when it comes to how do I pray? How do I talk to Jesus? How you've got these stair-step kids y'all have adopted. Mm-hmm. That was probably a huge prayer process. Your husband ran missions for a long time and y'all were a missionary couple. Like let's start with this. At what point in your life did you realize listening to Jesus is important? And then how did you develop
that
skill?
That's a great question, Katie. For me, I think I picked up a lot osmosis from my own mother. Like it was more caught, not taught. Mm-hmm. My mother was is still a very deep intercessor. And if people would ask you, she's a woman of prayer, like deep prayer. Like I remember like waking up, like going to the bathroom in the middle of the night and just seeing my mom praying like in a living room or saying, you know, just like deep prayer. So I saw it. And I think like you almost catch it in that way. And I think for me, when I had a reversion, when I was 20 to the Catholic faith, it was very Holy Spirit reversion. But I mean, I fought it. Like I was like, no part of this. Sorry, that's weird. Everything's weird. But what I realized is that I just learned how to like it's almost like a dialing, what I would think, like dialing a radio station. Like, I mean, for people that when you used to have to dial radio stations, people, you know, or maybe press a button, but like tuning into a certain station and it's not staticky, like you realize, okay, this feeling, like you don't hear the Lord's voice audibly, but this sense and this feeling that you get is the Lord and it's the Holy Spirit. And once it's almost like once you get attuned to that sense, like, okay, this is his voice. This is him speaking through the situation. Like you begin to almost trust it, like entrust yourself hearing it. And then you test it. I'm really big on testing everything, you know, and like, and then you realize, okay, this is the Lord. this is the Lord. I can trust my instincts. I can trust, you know, and I think for mothers, we say something like, you know, they have a gut instinct, you know, like you do, like a mother's intuition. There's no like, but I think that is really the Holy Spirit working through us, and trust that instinct. I mean, you still pray and discern, but trust that instinct. Like, okay, like you just know what's going on with a child, you know? And it's really interesting, Katie. The end of last school year, I think you had just reached out to me. I had a situation with one of my kids that just blindsided me. And like, I was like, oh my gosh, like, why wasn't this on my radar? Because I consider myself very like in tuned with them, whatever. And I missed this, you know, like I really missed something. And, but it was funny. I missed it in the natural, but I knew it in the spiritual because the Lord had told me a couple of things. Like I was praying for this child and like things don't add up, you know, and like something, you just have that gut feeling, but everything in the natural looked okay. And I would ask the child, is everything okay? Everything. And then I told him afterwards, after we, you know, everything came to light. I'm like, and he's like, Mom, you're just being crazy. Like, you're just being thing. I'm like, dude, you totally gaslighted me. Like, you just told me I was crazy. And I was like, oh, like, not cool. Not cool at all. You know? And, but I couldn't see it, Katie. Like, there was nothing that, like, in the natural that I could see. It was just this gut feeling. So then you begin to doubt yourself. Well, maybe I'm not, right? And then lo and behold, it all unfolded. And I was like, okay, all right. I needed to trust my gut. You know, I needed to trust really the Holy Spirit, you know? And my prayer for it is, Holy Spirit, this is feeling is right. Will you reveal it to us? And he revealed it with a bang. And so like, it was really, really good, but it was really good because I think he was also preparing my heart for the situation beforehand. And I could have reacted a lot differently, but instead it was one of those times when I got, when you get the phone call as a parent, you know, and you just get that phone call and they'll come throughout the, whatever season you're in, it's different phone calls. And it was so good. Like I really, because the Holy Spirit went before me in the situation, I actually responded really well, which I don't always do, instead of reacting really, you know, out of emotion and whatever. Like I stopped and paused and I was like, okay, I can respond. And like, and just really listen to the voice. And I think that is the biggest thing, is the holy pause for moms. It's to stop in whatever situation and take back, okay, Holy Spirit, where are you in this? You know? And one of my favorite quotes, which when I think, you know, the shortest route to holiness is listening to the inspirations of the Holy Spirit, that Saint Faustina. And that's one of those quotes that I just hang my hat on because because sometimes it doesn't make sense, you know, and it's right. Yeah.
When you missed it,
I did.
Did you feel guilty?
I felt guilty. How'd you deal with that? I felt guilty because I was like, why didn't I not see this? And one of the things I really struggle with, Katie, is hypervigilance. Because out of my own story and out of the way I was brought up was chaotic. And one of the things I said, it's not going to happen on my watch. Like, it's almost like because things that happen in my childhood, in my home, and the way they grew up, the way I grew up, I was like almost bound and determined to not let certain things happen in my house. But almost out of an area of pride. And not out of an area of hope or restoration or whatever. Like, I'm not going to let, you know, I'm not going to let this happen on my watch kind of thing. So when this happened, that feeling to me, like, I was like, how did I miss this? You know, and where were we in this? Yeah. You know? Yeah. And learning how to, I think it was easier to forgive my child than it was to forgive myself, to be honest. You know, because I think you're just like, all right, I should have picked this up. You know, and but we didn't, and the Lord used it, you know. And I think the child is, you know, further down in the lineup of our children. And I think I realized now you're not going to get it right. And the rupture in the relationship or the rupture because of sin is great and needs to be looked at, but the repair is always greater. You know, and that's like attachment language that you learn, especially because we have two kids that are adopted. And so we become well-versed in attachment language in our house is, but the repair is always greater, you know? And so how do we repair this with this child? How do I repair my mothering? And then how do I go forward in this? And I think you realize, all right, you're playing the long game here. Like, I think that's what you realize when you're raising kids, like you're planting seeds and playing the long game. you know, like it's not.
Yeah.
The moments add up. Yeah. The day-to-day moments are beautiful, but you're also playing the long game. So how do you course correct for the long game and not react to the situation thinking it's the end of the world?
So. Yeah. Oh gosh. That's so good. I don't know how to do that. And like, as you're talking about like that word rupture and then repair, I'm specifically thinking of something that happened just last night with my 6-year-old where we have a playroom. My mother-in-law very graciously cleaned the playroom, like did a deep clean reset about a month ago. And so I have been militant about we're keeping this clean because I will never have that much spare time as my retired mother-in-law to deep clean this room again. So we're going to take care of little messes before they become these big messes so she doesn't ever have to do this again. And I asked Rose point blank, is the playroom clean? And she went, yeah, it's clean. And I said, is it mommy clean or is it Rose clean? And she went, it's clean. And she's like, anybody that watched that interaction would have noticed she wasn't lying, but she wasn't being entirely honest. So it was like it was tidy, but it was not mom clean. And all she had done was go in there and pick up stuff off the floor and put it on the couch. She had not cleaned it. She had not put stuff where it belonged. So I went in there and she ran ahead of me to try to do it really quickly. And then she turned to me and she said, I'm sorry, I lied. And she called it that. She said, I'm sorry, I lied. And I lost my cool because now she's admitted she lied. And I did not react well in that moment because I'm almost embarrassed saying this, but we're friends and people who listen to the show know we're going to be very honest. I wanted her to feel some shame for the lie. Like I wanted her to feel bad for what she had done because it was like this, I can't trust you anymore. But then I realized she wanted to make sure that I trusted her. So she was like backtracking super quickly. And this all plays out in like 2 minutes while Tommy's outside taking the trash out. And he comes back in and hears me yelling and sees Rose standing there. And he comes in and just very gently touches my elbow. Babe, do you need a minute? And I turned and I was like, Rose, I'm so sorry. And like I caught myself. Like he kind of caught me out of the moment. And so we sat down. I asked her to come sit with me, like that physical touch all of a sudden, like kind of repairing it. But I'm too young in my motherhood to know how to handle the reactions. Can you advise me? Can you advise all of us on what muscle do we have to build to be more patient? What muscle do we have to work on to not be so reactive or to not immediately feel this, like you need to feel shame for what you've done? Like how do we maintain the belief and the understanding that repair should be the ultimate goal here, not I need to react so that you know never to do this again?
I mean, I think you just said something really important. How do you grow a muscle? Because it is a muscle. It doesn't come natural to any of us, Katie. Mm. Like, I mean, at least the friends that I know that are mothering, you know, like it, you know, for some people they have a more gentler temperament than others, but really it doesn't come natural. And I think that was such a big misconception for me when I first started mothering. And it was interesting. It was one of the areas when I first got married where my motherhood is where I felt the weakest. Cause I was like, I didn't know how to be a wife and a mom, you know, like I just didn't learn that. Like, you know, and you get married and you're like, all right, did everyone else get a playbook that I didn't get? Like it was handed out and it did not come natural to me. And it wasn't because of lack of love for my husband or my children. It did not come natural to me. And I'm like, and I really felt like, oh my gosh, I'm so behind the game. Like how did everyone else learn this? And so I realized that I had to learn tools as I go, you know, and honestly, the reason more often than not, the tools that I learned is when I make mistakes and then I have to go back and course correct. It's not when I'm doing something well. And I mean, at least that's just not how I grow. I don't think really any of us grow in comfort anyway, but we wish it was true.
I just say that again.
We don't grow.
We don't grow in comfort.
Benedict says we're made for greatness, not comfort. But I'm like, no, Benny, I'm made for comfort, honey. Like, I do.
I like my comforts. Yeah. Give me that Wi-Fi and unlimited streaming. Exactly. I need that.
But I think for us, one of the things I am going and I remind myself over and over again, connection before correction, you know, is I'm always like, okay, connection before correction, Michelle, connection. I mean, Katie, I had to tell myself this last night, but then there's something about that because when I think for us as moms, like, I mean, I totally get it because I've had this situation. Are you kidding me? Like I just did this laundry and it's all over your, unfolded and it's all over your bed. Yes. It's like you take it personal, you know? And so it's so funny because I actually was telling my counselor about almost a similar situation about a certain child. Like I did all this. And then just like, I'm like,
the ungratitude. You're not so grateful.
Like,
yeah.
And so she, then I think it's like, okay, we have to go back to us. Why is our reaction so strong? Because there's something in us that the Lord is digging up and I have to look at myself. And it's so easy. I'm a really good blamer in my house. Like, I think someone needs to take blame for something.
Me too.
Yep. And my counselor so lovingly reminded me, like, that's because you want to control something, Michelle, because things feel chaotic to you. And you want order, like, because you don't feel secure in something, you know, and you think it's almost a personal affront. Like, you take it personally, you know, and like, very similar to your husband, my husband will say, honey, it's not personal, but it feels personal. You know, I'm like, it does. Mm-hmm. It feels like a personal attack, but it's not, you know. And I actually, we have a theme song that I actually play in my head. I think about when there's a situation. My counselor and I came up with this. When there's a situation, especially with a certain child, that can trigger my buttons like no other. He just has a gift. Oh, he has the gift. Like, I mean, you know. And so, yeah. And like, we laugh. We sing. She's like, I want you to think in your head the old Carly Simon song, You're So Vain. You know, you probably think this is about you. And that's what I think. Yeah. And so I actually did it like 2 days ago because I made this school lunch. You know, woke up, whatever. And then I come into the kitchen and he's taken half of it out of it and went to school. I'm like, dude, I did not need to wake up early to make your lunch. Like, you're not doing me anything. And I'm like, really? Oh. And so I was like, okay, all right, thanks a lot. But, you know, okay, it's not about you. Yeah. You know?
I hope you're enjoying this conversation with Michelle. We're going to take a second and tell you about our sponsor today, Sacred Heart Major Seminary. Dr. Mary Healy, one of my absolute favorite writers and a world-renowned biblical scholar, is offering a transformative course on the power of sacred scripture. It's a college-level online course, Intro to Sacred Scripture, entirely online. Dr. Healy will guide you to uncover this interconnectedness of biblical texts from Genesis all the way to Revelation. You can learn how God speaks to us personally, how he reveals profound truths, how there are unexpected messages all throughout scripture. I can't wait for this course. I know you're going to love it too. Enroll today. Visit shms.edu/online. All right, back to the conversation with Michelle Benzinger. Yeah, that's a good insight from your therapist. Like, if I'm reacting in this particular way, it's because there's something else going on internally. And I feel like sometimes moms are like, I don't have time to deal with
absolutely.
That right, like, that laundry was just unfolded. Like, I don't have time to deal with the deeper issue. I just need to react to the fact that the socks are not where we put them. And don't you guys all know that the socks need to be in this bucket so tomorrow morning we know where the socks are when it's time to leave for school? And it's like, moms don't give themselves permission to actually deal with that inner thing so that they then can be better for their people. But it's also like, not just for them, but for me. Like, I think I would be happier if I was less reactive. You've mentioned therapy a couple of times. What's the pitch, like, to the mom who's listening to this, who's like, I probably should go. Like, I probably should find somebody. Like, why is that a priority we should really set for ourselves?
I think for me, the reason why I've gone to counseling a couple of different times in my life, I've been steady back in counseling for 3 years now. And I think for me, one of it was because one of my children, my adopted children, was really struggling and she had a situation that was hard and another one. And when we went to go see the counselor, she looked at me and said, she's like, they are really dysregulated, their nervous systems, from the trauma. I mean, both of my children from Haiti have lived through the earthquake. I mean, they've probably seen more in a lifetime than we'll ever see. Mm-hmm. And they said they'll learn how to regulate their nervous system and really find freedom by co-regulating with you, usually the mother figure. But she's like, she said, just even your time in the office, like, whatever. She's like, you're dysregulated, though. You've gone in. And I'm like, excuse you? Like, how rude, you know? But like, I realized, oh my gosh. And then I was really praying about it. And which I've always been open to healing. And I really pray that counseling for me is tools. It is tools that I did not have in my toolbox that I need to go back and get. You know, it is ways to really learn. And I just don't think you can grow spiritually I know you can't grow spiritually without growing emotionally. You know, like, you have to be a fully integrated person. You know, I think Pope Benedict does a beautiful job talking about this. So does JP too. But like, that integration of a person, like, that's what we're called to be, you know? And I think also another thing is, when I was thinking of like going back into counseling, I heard a story by Beth Moore, you know, who is a big Protestant Bible teacher and whatever. And she was talking about she had a dog that lost a leg. And so it was a tripod. It was walking on three legs. And the dog had puppies. And so so when the puppies learned to start to walk, they started hobbling and were walking on three legs like the mom. And she said, the Lord said to her, like, if you don't get this healing, you're going to pass it down to other children, your children. And I mean, yeah. Katie, I know for you and probably for me, but majority of all of us listening, like, I mean, dude, we won't get the healing for ourselves, but man, we'll walk through fire for our kids. Like we'll do, I mean, it'll make me tear up. We'll do anything. So they'll walk in freedom. And, but I realized that it's a joint restoration deal. You know, they get restored as we get restored, you know? And it's so it is, we got to do the work, you know, and that, and so, and brain science will tell you, like, if you read anything like Dr. Dan Siegel's, I'm a big fan of his work. Like, I think he has a book called Just Show Up is the title of it, but he will tell you one of the characteristics of healthy children are parents that have engaged and know their own story.
I we've seen this with our kids. Tommy rushes. He's like a rusher. And so we both read The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry.
We were just talking about this book last night. I love that book.
And I'm telling you, the book wrecked us. Like, we both read it, and then we both listened to it and hearing it after reading it. And, like, we realized we are saying to our kids all the time, hurry up, hurry up, hurry up, because, like, we need to get to the next thing, even though we don't have that many extracurricular activities. And the other day, dropping the kids off, Rose has a responsibility. When we get to school, she unbuckles Claire, because I can't hop out of the minivan to unbuckle her. The man has to put the backpack on. And I caught Rose saying to Claire, hurry up, hurry up. Like, saying in the exact same tone, and then, like, getting annoyed with Claire in the exact same way I've gotten annoyed with her. And I thought, oh, like, that, if she's a mom someday, that's going to come out sideways. That's always our phrase. It comes out sideways. And we don't want things to come out sideways. We want things to come out the way that they're supposed to. You mentioned this regulating for yourself and for your kids. How do you, and this, I loved that line, connection before correction. How do you experience that in your prayer? Like, as a mom bringing your kids to the Lord, as a wife navigating, you know, marriage is different at 22 years than it was at 2 years, you know, like navigating those changes and those shifts in the professional capacity. You went back to school because you wanted to study some of this stuff. How did you realize, as you were regulating in a personal way and for your family, that this was impacting your relationship with the Lord?
I think for me, I learned, like, for me, I think being in his presence is, like, actually regulates my nervous system. But for me, I learned how to have to do this, once again, picking up more tools. I had to learn how to pray somatically. And what I mean by that, with my body, you know, so I started doing a lot of breathing prayer, you know, like, breathe in, you know, come Holy Spirit, breathe out. I always put expel anxiety or come Holy Spirit, diminish control. Like, I mean, you know, come Holy Spirit, help me surrender. There are little just sayings that I do, and I breathe in and breathe out, because I realized, Katie, I was holding my breath a lot. Like, when I was working, always. Like, I can feel it. But always. I think in the last year or 2 years, people would ask me, like, well, where are you feeling this in the body? What is your body saying to you? I'm like, I don't know. We don't even talk the same language, my body and I. You know, like, I was like, that was such a foreign concept to me, you know? And I'm still learning. Like, I feel like my body is, like, the final frontier, you know? And I was, like, literally living a heresy of the church, like, separating spirit and body. Like, a practical,
Gnosticism.
Yeah. And so I was realizing, oh, I have to learn to speak the language of my body, you know? And I think when you come into someone's presence that is regulated, where it just, there's, that you're able to rest in them. And I think that's how it's affected my kids, because mothers teach your kids how to rest. If you have a trouble, like, it was interesting, if you have a trouble resting or Sabbath, it actually comes from your mom, they say, you know? And so, but then I'm thinking, women do everything. Like, no wonder it comes from, you know, like, especially now. Like, I, a good friend of mine and I were talking about it. You know, we've had several conversations. One's a doctor, one's a lawyer, you know, and they have children. But the majority of us do things after. The amount of moms I know that are just stinking exhausted, you know, just because the mental load, not even like even, and then we throw the household load on it. Then the, it's just a lot, you know? So, and this is the place where our children are supposed to rest, you know? And I don't mean, right. Yeah. And
this
I doesn't
is what
mean
they
that
see of us. Yeah.
Women aren't supposed to work. I mean, we need to do something like they right. are. They're right. like, that voice is vital, especially to the church in the world right now. But something has to shift. Something has to change, you know? And I think what you hit it on the head, mm-hmm. that hurry culture, we've got to get out of it, you know? So.
Mm-hmm. My therapist about a year ago asked me what mm-hmm. I could outsource. And we were in a busy season and I was like, I need to say no to more speaking stuff because traveling is hurting my family. I need to be a little more organized with my day when they're at school. Like these are the things that need to get taken care of. But she said, I'm not talking about the big picture calendar. I'm just like in the day to day, what could be outsourced? So we registered for Kroger Boost and now we get grocery delivery. And I kind of like, it felt like a personal failure at first. Like I can't even go grocery shopping for my family. I was like, no, this is actually freeing up about 45 minutes of my day and usually my Saturday, which means now we can take it a little easier on Saturday morning. And so that was like, okay, that's going to be a big expense. It's $100 a year, but it's going to be worth it because it's going to save us all this time. We bought a robot vacuum recently because I was like, you know what? Bob can vacuum my floors. My floors have never been
cleaner. They're a game
changer. And I'm they're a game changer. And it empties itself. And now I'm not angry Saturday morning mom clanging around with the Dyson and mm-hmm. everybody thinks I'm mad just because I want the floors clean. And like those two small shifts made a tangible difference in the time we spend together, in the relaxing on a Saturday morning, if I'm home. Like, what are some of the, you've got these stair steps and you've got kids at these different phases of life. What are some of the things that y'all have done over the years that have really provided that rest or provided that safety? Kids that are out of the house, like when they come home, that they want to return home, which is like the best compliment an adult child can give their parents, is that they want to come back. You know, you've got the wisdom of time as a mom. Like, tell us a little bit of those practicals. Like, if you could give one tip to yourself from those early years, what would it be?
One tip, like for us, one, I would say wait as long as you can to get cell phones. I'm not kidding. So yeah, because there's something about that. And then second is family dinner. Family dinner is a big deal for us. To sit around the table is a big deal and have conversation. Mm. And I realize that is actually something that majority of people are losing. And it doesn't have to be fancy. I mean, I don't care if you get Chick-fil-A and put it around the table, like whatever you got to do. For us, like I know we have our three bottom right now is like they're big sports kids. Like they're very athletic, they're big sports. And then of course we are suckers. We're like, oh, we only have three now. Let's do select also sports. And I'm like, travel ball. I mean, just call us dumb in that respect, but they love it. And we love watching them play. But Wednesday nights, they don't have practice because we live in the South and Wednesday nights is church night, which I love. We live in the Bible Belt, which is awesome because Wednesday night, we know it's dinner. Sunday night is dinner. And I may not get Monday, Tuesday, you know, Thursday, Friday.
So Wednesdays
they don't have anything. So we have to set that time aside. And then Wednesdays and Sundays are our family days. And we try to do screen-free Sundays, you know. And you would think, like, for us, our children that have, well, now all of them have cell phones. We wait at least till eighth grade to get them cell phones. But mm-hmm. it's like you would think them putting their phones up for the day, like you think that we were taking the ring away from Gollum, you know, for the first hour or two. You know, they're like, my precious, oh my God. And I'm like, all right, come on. And but it's so funny. After they literally go through a little detox. And we're one of those ones that our children have, especially our younger ones that are 14, and they have to put their phones downstairs. Like we turn them off at a certain time. Mm. No one can have phones in the room at night. Even my senior in high school, which I'm probably one of the most uncool moms ever because of that. But, you know, oh, well, your brain and your sleep is more important.
Yeah.
And your safety. Yeah. Mm. Like we'll pay for therapy later. You'll be great. And so, yeah. But we just, those are our intentional times, you know, and we just mark them, but it's the mm-hmm. dinner table for us, you know, and other people have other things that work for their family, but the dinner table is a big deal for us, you know. Which is funny because my friends actually invite their friends over for dinner at our house. And like this year, especially because my kids are, they're all out of our Catholic school, which is a very close knit community. And they're in a big public school, mm-hmm. which is actually like, it's also a Title I public school. So it's very diverse, you know, which we love. But there's oftentimes like when my kids will like, you want to come over to our house for dinner? Like their friends will be like, what? Like, sit down. I mean, it's like a really foreign concept for them, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah.
But
You're kind of the revolving door house.
And so, which is what you want to be like, you know, well, that's what we want to be.
Yeah.
Like, I want to know what's going on.
Right.
And so, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Years ago, I was talking to Steve Angrisano's wife and she said, keep a deck of cards at the kitchen table, like an Uno deck or something.
Great idea.
And, you know, you play your cards and at first it's just a game. And then the next thing you know, you've got your kid talking. And I was like, okay, when my kids are older, I'm putting that in my back pocket. We do Old Maid from time to time. Like, we'll go to restaurants and we'll bring a deck of cards with us and it gets them talking. Just to have that, you know, that chat time. There's so much wisdom here. Tell us where we can listen to your podcast that has even more wisdom. And then I'll ask you our last roundup.
Yeah, so you can listen to our podcast, Abiding Together, podcast.com. It's on all the whatever podcast platforms that you have and all of that. Yeah. So,
you'll have a new season going on now. Yeah.
New season launches on Monday, the September 25th. I'm not sure when this episode is coming out for you, but so, but our new season, yeah, September 25th, 13. I can't believe we've been doing this for,
season 13. Lucky number 13. And so, that's awesome. That's awesome. Well, Michelle, you've got kids all across the age ranges and you've got a wealth of knowledge and experience. We ask everyone one final question, and I did not warn you what the question was. Which is kind of my secret favorite thing. What do you want your kids to remember about you?
Oh, gosh, Kay, that question's going to kind of make me cry.
That's the goal.
That she loved well. She loved, like, her Lord, her husband, and her kids well, and her friends. But she loved well.
One of the things that I really, really appreciated in this conversation with Michelle is that she was very honest about how motherhood was not this incredibly natural thing to her at first, but that it was in that weakness, in that having to learn, in that having to navigate, that, you know, she had to learn these tools as she went. She had to make these mistakes and then very honestly course correct and recognize that, you know, motherhood is never this done thing. Motherhood is not this, okay, well, I've mothered for the day and I'm going to turn it off, or I've mothered my children and now they're out of the house and they're no longer my responsibility, but it's this process. And every single day is completely and totally different. How, when we seek to connect with our kids, when we seek to regulate ourselves before we react or respond to our children, when we become women of prayer who take the time for our own spiritual growth because we recognize that it's from that there can be an outpouring of not just good parenting, but of connective parenting, of loving parenting, of really honoring the person that is our child, that we become who God made us to be. That motherhood is not, and this is something I've had to really grapple with over just the past few weeks, motherhood's not something that I do. I don't do motherhood. I am a mom. And so I find myself at times feeling motherly towards people who maybe even aren't my own children, like circumstances or situations. I was at a meeting a few weeks ago and one of the participants at the meeting had a headache and he looked at me and he said, "You're a mom. Do you have any aspirin?" And of course I did. And then, like, throughout the course of the day, I made sure to kind of check on him. Like, "Hey, are you okay? Like, is your head still hurting? Do you need anything else?" It just kind of that instinctive caring kind of embeds within you in the experience of motherhood. It doesn't really turn off. And even with our own children, yeah, they might just be sitting on the couch watching a dinosaur documentary, or they might be pitching a fit because you told them no to more Whoppers candies, or they might be looking at you and saying, "I have to potty," after you got them all put together in their costume for the play that they have to be at on time in 5 minutes. That in every single one of these moments, we as moms are called to respond. And hopefully bring our best selves, hopefully bring our loving selves, hopefully approach that child that's been entrusted to us and see their goodness and their value and see that we are able to love them in such a unique and profound way and ask the Lord for the strength to do that. Maybe that's what I learned from Michelle the most, that we can't really mother alone, but that we need the Lord to help us. You can listen to Michelle's incredible podcast, Abiding Together, wherever you can find your podcast. I'm sure you listen to it. It's an amazing show. And hey, we're really grateful that you listened to Like a Mother Today. Next time, we have an incredible conversation with Elizabeth Williams from Catholic Concepts and Sock Religious. This show has so many incredible things coming down the pike, so many great guests. We hope that you follow. We hope you give it a rating and a review. We hope you share it with your friends.
It's a great show. I'm really proud that we get to host it. I'm so excited about the people that we have coming this fall. And we're so grateful that you took the time to listen to learn more about how to live life like a mother today. Have you wanted to experience the transformative power of sacred scripture? Well, then join Dr. Mary Healy, a world-renowned biblical scholar, in a college-level online course, Introduction to Sacred Scripture. In the course, which is entirely online, offered through Sacred Heart Major Seminary, Dr. Healy is going to guide you to uncover the interconnectedness of biblical texts from Genesis to Revelation. You'll discover how God speaks to you personally, how this can reveal profound truths for your own life and unexpected messages. Enroll today. Visit shms.edu/online. We're grateful for their sponsorship today on this Introduction to Sacred Scripture course.
This has been a production of OSV Podcasts. To learn more, visit osvpodcasts.com.